This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
This is my Bible. Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. We're in a series of lessons on how to win your faith fight. How to win your faith fight. And so we are talking about the fight of faith. The Bible tells us that we must fight the good fight of faith. And the only good fight is the fight that you win. Amen. So there in verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. The eternal life he's talking about here is not just going to heaven, but it is quality of life. The quality of life that Jesus promised us is the abundant life. So when the Bible talks about eternal life here, you don't want to just limit it to going to heaven, but it's the quality of life that you live here on earth. And you will have a quality of life based on the level of your faith. Because the promises of God are received by faith. For every problem that you have, there is an ordained kingdom principle or kingdom promise that will see you through it. So I must understand that if I am going to get through life, I must understand how to release my faith. So we asked some of our members to participate in this particular series of lessons, and we passed out cards to find out what kind of faith fights people are going through. Now, we're not going to preach on every card because that'd take me 40. We had about 2,000 cards or so, and that would take me 40. Was that before the years before I get through all of them? You know, so if I had did a card, preach a lesson per card. But what we're going to do is we group them together because the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, that there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. So you're not the only one going through what you're going through. Even though it seems like it, you're not the only one. Amen? So we're taking them by category. Now, this first category I'm dealing with, at first glance, may not mean a lot to you, but it's probably the most foundational one and the most important one, and that is fighting the good fight of faith for self-esteem. Everybody say self-esteem. Self-esteem. Now, how do you feel about yourself? Do you really like you? That's what this is about. Because, see, if you don't really like you and you don't really like yourself and don't know how to value yourself, then the other faith fights that you win, you're still not going to be happy. I can show you how to believe for a new car, but you won't be happy with it. Believe for a new house, you still won't be happy with it. Believe for your husband, you still won't be happy with it. Mess his life up too. So this thing on self-esteem is so vital and so important. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, self-esteem. How you value yourself. And so we've given this definition for it, that self-esteem is how an individual views themselves, values themselves, validates themselves, and it affects my behavior. It affects how I act. It affects what I believe. It affects how I bond with others. So self-esteem is important. And so we have a standard by which we have been trained to value ourselves. And it's a flawed standard from the world that we have to get rid of. They can't hear me in the back. Okay. All right. No sense in me preaching if y'all can hear me in the back, right? Can y'all hear me now? All right, I need somebody to tell me what's going on, please. I paid a lot of money for this equipment. I don't understand. How come we can't hear? So maybe that's a technical problem. We need to get it fixed. Thank y'all for stopping me, because I understand last week y'all couldn't hear. Yeah. Well, y'all need to stop me, because y'all need to hear. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord, for he is worthy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Y'all can hear me now? Y'all can hear me now? Y'all can hear me? Y'all can hear? Can you hear? All right. Praise the Lord. All right. All right. Amen. All right. All right. All right. All is well. Okay. That's why I got somebody on the back row start clapping. So that's it now. I'm counting on you to keep me posted here. You keep me posted. All right. Now, if you do this, I'm going to stop. So, I mean, you have to watch how you praise God. Don't praise God like this. I'm saying. Amen. All right. Well, you know, anything made by man is subject to breakdown. And so we got good technicians to get right on and get it fixed. Amen. So we're still in good shape? We're in good shape. All right. Oh, nah. They over here talking about, okay, we need sound over on this side. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, I'm not going to start over in the lesson because even though it's breaking up in here, I understand it was taped good last week. All right, can y'all hear me now? Can y'all hear me now? Can you hear me? Okay. All right, all right, all right. You in Romans chapter 12? All right, Romans chapter 12. Now, here's where we're going now with this with self-esteem. That if I don't have good self-esteem and I don't value myself properly, then I will not be happy in any situation in life. And so that's why this is so vitally important. This is probably one of my very first faith fights that I won. I don't talk about it a whole lot. Occasionally I do. But it's so vital to your quality of life as a believer. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So the Bible does not tell me not to think highly of myself, but not to think more highly of myself. But I'm supposed to have a high regard for myself. The Bible says, Jesus taught, we talked on last time, that I must love my neighbor as myself. So until I love me, then I don't have a foundation from which I can love others. So understanding this whole lesson of self-esteem is so vitally important as we began to flow into faith, different faith fights. Now, we said now that really before I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, I accept the standard of the world. And the standard of the world is flawed and will cause me not to value myself like I need to. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Because the standard of the world is this, is that I value myself based on my possession. It's based on comparison, really. Based on my possession, based on my position, based on my performance, based on my proficiency. Those are the things that I use to value myself. And so I have to compare myself with others in order to feel good about myself. That is what we've been taught. But that is flawed because I will always find somebody who's doing something better than me. You got it? And so the Bible teaches us a different standard. And we have to forsake the world standard and adopt this standard. Now, today's lesson, we're going to talk about this. We're going to answer several questions. First question is, how can I learn to like myself by myself? How can you learn to like you with only you around? And then, number two, with this whole thing about self-esteem, because, you know, we can talk theory, you can talk theology, but practically, when will I learn to feel good about myself? I'm just going to get quiet on that one. How you feel good about you? How do you feel good about yourself? Especially after you've gone through times in your life when you've been abused, you've been walked on, you know, and all of that sort of thing. And then the mistakes that you've made are all in your mind. Opportunities you've missed that you could kick yourself in the butt for. All that. When am I going to feel good about me? I know it's going to be quiet, but that's all right. Amen, amen. I know I'm on it on this lesson. I know I'm on it on this one. Because, see, by the time you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil has given you a good working over. And he has condemned you so with all of the stuff you've done that when you get by yourself, you don't even like yourself. Oh, you can masquerade, you can put on, but underneath the skin, you have this self-disdain. That's why you don't like nobody else. That's why you can't rejoice in anybody else. So I got to win this fight. Now, I said I had two major setbacks, I think, in my life that could have been devastating. First major setback, since I had adopted, of course, this performance mentality, was I grew up a boy preacher, and I really failed at being a pastor, in a sense. Had a big church fight. I got arrested one Sunday morning in my pulpit for trespassing. Now, how am I going to be a trespasser? My name on the sign. My name is outside on the church bus. And my name is even on the program for that day. But some of the officers of the church went and got an illegal restraining order against me. And there I was. I had shine shoes in Fifth Ward and, you know, on the corner of Lyons and Gregg, where all the hustlers, the pimps and all that kind of stuff, never got in any trouble. But here from the Lord's house, the Lord's folk. I mean, that's dirty. I split that was dirty. It was a dirty and low-down trick that they pulled. But the Lord's folk did. And I got locked up. My family seeing me locked up. I drove off in a police car. And I hated every one of them. I see y'all looking at me. I'm all right now. I'm all right now. I'm going to show you something. See, when I'm talking about self-esteem, I'm going through this big church fight here in the city. Big church fight. And so I write a letter to the moderator of our association, who's supposed to be one who helps mentor pastors. I'm reaching out for help. I write him a letter, and in this letter, I expose my heart and the needs that I'm having because the people wouldn't pay him and all that kind of stuff. He takes the letter and prints it on the front page of the newspaper that's distributed all over the city. So now this sense of shame, I'm telling you, sense of shame. Here he was, more concerned about not upsetting the church that I had to fight with to keep them in the association, so he chose to embarrass me. And then, you know, there were all my little peers, my little peers, you know, who were jealous of my talent because, you know, I grew up a boy preacher, so I knew how to hoop and sing and all that kind of stuff, and so I was in demand. People wanted somebody to come preach, they called me. You got it? Because, I could do it, you understand? So now they were happy. Oh, they were happy. Yeah, he can sing and do all that preaching, but he can't pastor. Can't pastor. Look at him. Failed. So here I was, man. I hated the folk. I felt embarrassed when I went out. And I didn't even like me anymore. I wanted to just crawl in a hole and hide. I wanted to, and of course, y'all, understand me now. It's back then. I'm all right now. Right? That's the only time in my life I ever felt like committing suicide. I was driving along my car, and the devil told me, you just gonna drive off, and you got good insurance and all that kind of stuff and all that. I said, no, I don't think I'm gonna do that. I may be down, but I ain't that far down, you understand? But the thought came. I'm trying to tell you, the thought came. I didn't value my life worth anything. In fact, I told Bridget one day, I'm going to leave you, I'm leaving the church, I'm leaving God. I'm going to Idabel, Oklahoma, and live out the rest of my days. I'm trying to tell you, I know what it's like to not like yourself. I ain't preaching this out of theory. I've been there. I've been there where I didn't like me, where I was so embarrassed that I didn't want to go outside. And then the Lord started talking to me one day. He said, son, I got great things planned for you. Because God told me when I was a little kid, he's going to do great things in my life. When I married my wife, I told my wife what the Lord had promised me. I said, you stick with me. The Lord promised me he's going to do this. And he promised me when things would turn in my life at 35. He promised me that. I told her that, didn't I tell you? At 35, I said, the Lord promised me. But now, going through all of that, I lost all of that. I lost all of that. And God comes in one day and says, son, he said, now, I want to use you, but I can't use you with all that hate in your heart. Well, now, I'm kind of mad with him, too. No. Why you don't let that happen to me? I said, yeah, you didn't have to let that happen to me. I mean, that ain't right. Look, I wasn't Jesus, but you know, I mean, but I lived a pretty good life as far as I was concerned. I mean, I wasn't no Jesus, baby Jesus. I did commit some little stuff, but I went asking for forgiveness. You know, I wasn't no dog or nothing. Lord, they laughing at me. Like, but no, I was mad with God. He didn't have to let that happen to me. You understand? He didn't have to let that. Why you let that happen? Got it? I didn't know about the word like I know right now. I didn't know all of this, but you know, but he told me, said, son, I can't use you like that. You got to forgive the folk. And then that's when he taught me how to forgive. Then I had the pain. That's when he taught me how to overcome pain. And then that's when he taught me how to love myself, how to like me with me. Y'all ready to hear that today? Hallelujah. Woo. Look at verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, we found out last week that whenever God called what we call the heroes of faith into their assignment, they all came with low self-image, low self-esteem. He calls Moses. Moses says, I don't know why you want to talk to me. I can hardly talk. He calls Gideon. Gideon starts talking about his tribe being the least tribe and his family, the poorest tribe around, poorest family around. He calls Jeremiah, and Jeremiah makes the excuse of being, you know, a child. You can't use me because I'm immature. And out of all of this, in every situation, God does the very same thing to help them overcome their low self-esteem. He gives them a promise. And his promise was simply, I'm with you. And so this passage here is saying the same thing. He's saying, look, don't go through your life comparing yourself with others. Be content with such things as you have, for he said, I will never leave you. Now, what he's saying this, he says, look, you get your value based on our relationship, your relationship with me, God's what God's saying. Don't get your value based on your relationship with anybody else. If you hold on to that, you will be able to go through life and you'll be able to act. You'll be able to go through anything in life. Now, so I received that. I received that, yes. That my value is not going to be based on who likes to hear me preach. My value is not going to be based on whether I can preach at this convention or that convention. My value is going to be based on what God says about me. I had to do a paradigm shift. I had to shift my thinking. Go to Isaiah 55. Go to Isaiah 55. I had to do a shift in my thinking and accept a whole nother standard by which I would judge me. Amen. Now, some years later, when we started this church, we had 300 people and 277 of them walked off. Left them with 23. But now by this time, I got good self-image. I have good self-esteem. Didn't bother me one bit. It didn't bother me one bit that over 92% of my members left in one day. Didn't bother me one bit. Didn't bother me one bit what folk were saying about me all around the city. He's a cult leader. His church going over under. Give him 6 weeks. Give him 6 days. Give him 30 days. Give him 90 days. Didn't bother. I was so locked in the purpose and knew who I was. It didn't matter because I'm not living to please you. I'm only living to please God. That's where you got to get to. And it doesn't take you long. Amen. Amen. Oh, glory. I shout by myself. Amen, amen, amen. Now, it is so clear in the Word of God. Where'd I tell you go? That God's plan is much higher than our plan. And that's why we need to abandon our way. And there is verse 8. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, and so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So the Bible here is clear saying that God's plan is better. His plan is superior. His plan is higher. You understand? So I'm saying we're highly developed in the world's way. And the world's way is the way I value myself is I take somebody like me, and if I'm better than them, I can feel good about me. That's not God's way. You've got to get rid of that as your standard and accept God's standard for what he says. Turn with me now in your Bibles. And just look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Amen. You can have a kingship status and a pauper's mentality. See, just by me talking about this, that doesn't change until you choose to do something with it.
Right.
Now, there's the story I told of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of King Saul. And when David takes over the kingdom, because he had made a covenant with Jonathan, he looks now for someone from Saul's house so that he could show kindness to. And the Bible says that they sent they found Saul's grandson, Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, down in the land of Lodabar. Now, what had happened when the revolt in the kingdom took place and the enemies was coming after them, Mephibosheth's keeper, his nurse, took him and was running with him and fell and crippled his feet. And so he grew up crippled in both of his feet. And they raised him down in secret in Lodabar. But now David finds out that he's dying there and brings him back to the palace. And not only bring him back to the palace, but tells him, from this day forward, all the land your daddy owned, I'm giving back to you. All the land your granddaddy owned, I'm giving back to you. And on top of that, I got a seat for you here in the palace at the king's table, and ain't nobody gonna eat until you sit down. But wait a minute. You know what Mephibosheth's response was? Why would you do something like that for a dead dog as I? He still saw himself as a pauper with kingship status. This image in his mind had not changed. And that's the way it is with many believers who come to church week after week and hear me talk about you're the righteousness of God. Hear me tell you that you're that chosen generation, royal priesthood. You hear all of this, but your thinking is still locked in to how you were raised. And it takes the Holy Ghost to root that stuff out. Amen, amen, amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God's, and you're not your own. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Verse 20 says, we were bought with a price. Everybody say, bought with a price. I see, here's the thing. Here's the thing I look at. Same price paid for me was same price paid for you. So whatever my value is, your value is the same. So that means I never have to look down. I never have to feel down by any man because the same price was paid for us all. So my thinking is, look, he bought me with a price. And the same price he paid for me is the same price he paid for you. Same price he paid for me, same price he paid for the billionaire. Same price he paid for me is the same price he paid for the homeless person. Yes. So I can't look down at the homeless. Same price. Everybody say same price. Not only that, but we're in the same family. Go to John chapter 1, Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 12. My thinking has changed. My standard now is no longer the world's standard. I have a whole nother standard by which I choose to value myself. Not based on my performance, but based on what he has done for me. Glory to God. Amen, amen,
amen.
God had to show me this. Verse 12, it says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How many did he make sons of God? As many. As many as received him. Have you received him?
Amen.
Well, you in the family.
Yeah.
He gave you the same power to become a son of God as he gave anybody else. You are in the family. Look, we are all in the same family. All right, now watch this. Turn with your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. This is what set me free. Now, what set me free was not just information, but revelation. Everybody say revelation. That is, you got to stay in this until this thing sinks down into you and you understand. And when it sinks down into you through saturation, So you got to saturate yourself with this. Then, because repetition changes how you believe. Repetition changes how you view yourself. And after I repeatedly did this and repeatedly did this, I got up believing this.
Yeah, amen.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I believe it with every fiber of my being. I'm exactly who God says I am. I can do exactly what he says I can do. And so watch this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I'm never intimidated. He says, I can do all things through which. So my reliance is not on me. My reliance is always on him. So I'm never intimidated. Because anything that's relative to my purpose in life, I can do it. Amen. So I have a boldness about me because my dependence is not on me. Amen, amen, amen. Now, go in the Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, because the devil is working overtime now. Yes, he is. He's working overtime to put you in the condemnation. He's to condemn you, to have you feeling bad about yourself. Works overtime. And we need to know how he works so that we can short circuit it, so we don't let it take the advantage of us. So there in 2, what did I tell you? Chapter 2, look at verse 11. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And we got to see the devices that he will use to try to bring condemnation on us. Romans 8 and 1, you can make a note of it, or you can go there. It says that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, the Bible doesn't say y'all have sinned. It says all. So I'm talking to you too. Amen. It's everybody in the house of sin. Everybody has sinned. So everybody has something on their record that the devil can bring up to condemn you on.
Amen. My God.
There's some things we've done we don't want nobody ever to find out about.
Amen.
There's some thoughts we've thought that we don't want ever exposed.
Amen,
amen. Amen. Now, the devil will attempt to condemn you so that you will devalue yourself. In order for this self-esteem thing to work against you, you have to participate. And so the first thing he uses is our past experimentation. The things we experimented with, sins we experimented with that left us scarred. I mean, those things we did that left us facing long-term consequences that caused the devil to tell you how low down you are. Got 15 babies for 15 mamas with 15 different mamas. You low-down dog, you. No, I'm just talking about the devil. I'm not trying to put anybody down. I'm trying to tell you this is how he works. He works to make you feel bad about your past mistakes. See, because you can't go back in the past and undo that. You're in college and you sold your body.
Be quiet.
Some of you wasn't in college. You sold that anyway. Yeah, you hold a little bit. I'm talking about the devil don't play fair. There's stuff on your record that you don't want to ever come. Oh, come on, help me here. The past experimentation gives him fuel to condemn you with. And so when things go bad in your life, the devil said, now this is why it happened. It's because you're getting your due back. As though grace and mercy hadn't erased your path. And grace and mercy hadn't made up the difference. Some ex-dope dealers in the house. Kids' lives, you messed up. The devil don't play fair, I'm trying to tell you. Affairs that you've had. And then you look at yourself and wonder, why did you do that? Why did you mess up this relationship? Why did you do that? You understand? And you can come back and you can condemn yourself and you can think very low of yourself. And I'm telling you, it's a strategy of the devil. And if you play into that strategy, you will never get the joy out of life you're supposed to get to. Number two, through exploitation, through past exploitation, the devil takes advantage of us. Exploitation is when those I trusted to protect me, harm me. I know, get quiet on this one. Yeah. Uncles that were supposed to be protecting you raped you. Hallelujah. And I'm talking about male and female. A lot of young boys that were raped by uncles. Now the devil's trying to tell you, you really ain't straight. You gay. He turned you out. You know you enjoyed it. What's the matter with you? Well, you know, I just kind of real. I know y'all quiet. You're like, is he saying all of that? Is he saying all of that? Somebody you loved, and that guy told you he loved you. He told you, you know, he was going to marry you. And he, you know, you gave him the honey, and then he left you. And then told everybody else. Ruined your name. Talking about being exploited. I'm talking about being exploited by somebody you trusted. You trusted them, and they turned around and betrayed that trust and end up hurting you. And you got a choice now. You can nurse that thing, and if you nurse it, then all you're going to do is blame your whole life now on what happened back then. You can rehearse it and batter yourself and beat yourself over and over and over with that thing. You can curse it and become bitter in life and judge every situation based on that past situation, or you can choose to reverse it. The problem I'm dealing with is we talk about real stuff that has gone on in your life. Number three is evaluations, past evaluation. You're trying to compare yourself with others, and you can't compare yourself with them because all the factors are not the same. Unfair comparison. How you going to compare? That's what I tell all, Bridget, Dr. B, tell ladies all the time. Don't compare your husband to nobody else. You can't do that. Even if you all got married at the same time, two couples got married at the same time, if y'all don't have the same purpose and calling in life, you can't, there's no way you can compare yourself. For instance, Dr. B and I, we've been walking in the Word, almost going on 30 years. Almost 30 years, walking in the Word. Well, my faith is really developed, you understand? I can believe for millions. Got it? So no sense in you pointing, well, look at what she got on it. Look what, tell me, husband, if you are any kind of man. Come on, sister, don't do that. You know, people always try to compare churches. So you can't compare a church. I said, well, who you think about Lakewood? It's a great church. Well, listen, see, you can't compare us with Lakewood. Number one, it's over 50 years old. We're only 21 years. See, and when you don't choose to compare, you can celebrate other folk. Well, I see empty chair. That's because my church is not like other churches. My church ain't in one place. I got church family over here and a church family over here and a church family over here and a church family over there. I don't compare myself with others because the parameters are not the same. I saw an empty chair, but I own the chair. See, so when you go visit somebody and they got all this nice furniture, and then you come back and look at your furniture and go, And your husband, what's wrong, baby? What's wrong? Oh, do you think it's about time you do something around here? Now, you know, that may be your sofa, you got it, may be pleather, but it's your pleather. It's your pleather. You may not have no fancy big screen. You understand? Your TV, you may be one of the TV, and you know. It's yours, though. You got a picture. Amen. It may not be high definition and all that kind of stuff, but you got your picture and some sound. See, what happens is when you start comparing yourself, you lose the joy of what you have. And then finally, expectations, past expectations. Expectations you had of yourself, expectations you had for others, and expectations you had, others had for you. See, many times we try to live up to others' expectations, feel good about ourselves. Our parents wanted us to go to certain schools, get da-da-da-da-da, and then we didn't do it. So now we feel we let them down. Got it? Or, we got quiet on that one. Or we had certain expectations for our children. Got it? And they went messed up. You know? And then if you don't watch it, then you start feeling bad about choices that they made. God was the best parent around. Adam messed up. He didn't quit being God. He didn't go hide. So if your boy, your girl mess up, you don't have to go hide. All right, we've had people leave the church because their children messed up. Because they were shamed. They took on shame. I said, baby, ain't no shame. You didn't do nothing. She the one that went and did something. And the righteous commitment that I have is not affected by the unrighteous choices my children make. Yeah. Some of y'all just need to write that down. Especially y'all with young children, you don't have teenagers yet. You need to write that one down because you're going to need that one. You are going to need it. I'm not trying to prophesy doom, but I'm going to tell you, in the day when they started trying to get their little independence and start, you know, doing stuff that you would never even dream of them doing, you need to understand, look, my commitment to God is not affected by the unrighteous choices that my children make. But if you don't watch it, you'll take on shame, and you have no reason to be ashamed. Amen. So, ooh, my Lord, y'all worked a preacher today. Go to Mark chapter 4. So, I'm not going to let the devil get the advantage on me because of my past experimentation, because of past exploitation, because of unfair evaluations, or because of unmet expectations. So what am I going to do now? I am going to understand the process of deliverance, and I'm going to work that process till I get free and stay free. Yeah, I'm going to understand this fight. Now, symptoms that your self-esteem has been under attack is that you make unnecessary adjustments, even painful adjustments, to get other folk to like you. I know it's going to get quiet on these. Yeah. You'll even compromise righteous principles to get other folk to like you. Okay, young people, let's talk about this. You think you're going to lose this boyfriend. And even though you have been taught righteousness and you have been taught abstinence, rather than lose him since he say he have needs, you go and lay down with him not knowing that he's taping the whole thing. Now, after you think, you know, you kind of appeased him because you don't want to lose him, then he turns you out by showing the video to everybody, making you look like a slut. Wow. You just got a real pastor that talks about real issues. I'm not a, you know, little patty cake guy. But when I got good self-esteem, and he says, unless you do this, and I said, no, I have just committed to live my life for God. And hey, buddy, if you investment, you ain't going to marry me. You got to marry me first. If that ain't what you're going to do, then hit the highway. Because I believe God's got to have something better. All right. Number two. I think other people are thinking about me what I know about me. That's why people run from relationships. They think other folk think about them what they know about themselves. Number three, your self-esteem may need some work. If you laugh at negative comments about you to keep you from confronting others, you know, folk let folk joke about them. Okay, I got to get real. See, I've tried to be real nice and just give the thing and just move on, but then y'all kind of like, oh, I understand that. Somebody tell a racial joke in front of you and you go and laugh. No, I take issue with that. I don't appreciate that. I value myself enough not to laugh at myself with you telling some old low-down joke. I ain't laughing at that. That ain't funny. I take issue with it. Now, if my friendship with you is gone, too bad. You're not that important to me. But that was my boss, where he just revealed how he feels about you. Hallelujah. Amen. You may gain a little respect from him if you confront him. Okay, can I say this? Okay, I think I got to say it just the right way because I want to, you know. But see, during the whole Katrina thing, I was in a meeting with pastors. And this big meeting with pastors, they were not speaking favorably about the evacuees, the people from New Orleans. They weren't speaking favorably. And in the meeting, I think it was me and Dr. B, wasn't it? I raised my hand and said, no. I took issue with the whole group. All of them. It was some of the big boys in town. I took issue with the whole group. Why? Because you ain't that important to me. That I'm going to sell myself out and sell my people out. You are not that important. And instead of them treating me negative, it became positive. And he wrote me a letter and said, I thank you for speaking straight to me on this thing. Because I didn't really see it that way. So don't think you're going to lose because you have self-value and self-worth. Yes. Don't think you're going to lose the guy because you tell him, no, I'm saving myself for my husband. Amen. Number what? Number four. Y'all got slow on me here. I was going to get through these real quick, and I thought I was going to, you know, maximum of time. Y'all got a little slow. They take artificial stimuli in order to deaden the pain of their situation. In other words, instead of dealing with it, I escape it through drugs. I escape it through anything that's artificial, synthetic escape, simply because I don't feel good about myself. Okay, they allow others to mistreat them and abuse them and then blame themselves. Now, how is it your fault that he hit you? No, I'm serious. I'm talking about the game the devil be playing on your head. I mean, he kicked you, cussed you, and beat you. And now you sitting there crying saying, I ain't going to do it no more. I ain't going to do wrong no more. You didn't do nothing wrong. He the one that did something wrong, baby. And it ain't always the man. I could told you. I saw a girl put a whipping on a boy one day. I feel sorry for the brother. I really wanted to call 911 to get your boy some help. I'm telling you, she whooped him right there on the freeway. I mean, right there on the freeway. I mean, she was putting it on the brother. But if I said, I need to call 911. That boy took out running. She took it, and she was right on his. I said, I wouldn't know where to tell him to come. Now they're gone. She put a whooping on him. Now I don't know if he may have done something wrong, but. All right, watch this. People who have poor self-images and poor self-esteem is they become consumed with themselves and disregard the pain that they cause others. All right. So let me move on now. Mark chapter 4. Anybody getting blessed in the house today?
Yes.
Okay. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Everybody say, it's a process.
It's a process.
Okay, now let's look at the process. Verse 26 says, Mark chapter 4 and verse 26 talks about the process that God uses in the kingdom. It says, so is the kingdom of God. As the man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. So I understand that it works by process. Everybody say by process. So this is not magic. It's not something I can by lay hands on you. You fall on the floor, get up, and it's all done. No, it's a process that you have to work, and you have to be willing to work the process. Because the process, it begins with investigation. When you realize, okay, I do have a problem. Got it? I do have a problem. Then information. I got to find the information. Who does God say I am? What does his word say I am? Then I saturate myself. I get revelation. I let the Spirit of God make it real to me. Then I saturate myself with it day and night. I say it out of my mouth day and night. This is who God says I am. Next week, I'm going to give you some confessions to make. But I say it day and night, saying that day and night, because after I say it and say it and say it, repetition causes me to believe it. And then once I do that, now I become empowered and I'm ready to eradicate some things in my life. I'm ready to find some folk now that I need to get out of my life. That was one situation, man. This guy was always coming to me, and a lot of people are pulling you down, and you really don't know that they're pulling you down. He'd always come to me to tell me about what other preachers were saying about me. And it was always negative. I'd be real happy one day, and then he'd show up, and he'd say, Doc, they're talking about you. And so, man, after I got to, I said, wait a minute. It's amazing that you, my friend, and other folk feel comfortable talking about me to you. I said, I think we need to redefine this relationship.
Right.
Because it's obvious if they feel comfortable talking about me to you, you talking too.
That's right. That's right.
See you. Are you listening to me? See, there are folk who pull you down. You don't need somebody always coming to you telling you something negative. Then I eradicated the pain. I eradicated the pain with the blood of Jesus because I really hated them folk. No, and that's some folk you really hate because of what they did to you in the past. Oh, y'all trying to be hypocrites. I'm just too real for y'all, see. You hate them. But you got to forgive them. But even when you go through the process of forgiving them, the pain is there. How do you get rid of the pain? You get rid of the pain through the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 9:14. You begin to say, Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus. It cleanses my conscience. It cleanses my life. It get rid of the pain. And you do it over and over and over and over. And one day you remember and the pain is gone. That's how it happens. Amen, amen, amen. And then the next process is consecration. Consecration is now, this is who I am and this is how I live forever. In other words, forever I'm going to find out who I am in the Word. For every situation that comes up, I'm going to go to the Word of God on it. This is how I live. This is not just something I did one time. I'm choosing to live this way. Amen. Well, you didn't tell me how I'm going to feel better. I'm glad you brought that up. Feelings follow action. Feelings follow behavior. Your behavior will reinforce how you feel or will reform how you feel. Have you ever felt like not coming to church?
Amen.
But then once you got here, you were glad you came?
Amen.
That's because your feelings lined up with your behavior.
Wow.
Now, God taught me that years ago, you see. He taught me that years ago. He said, now, son, you've got to act like it's so. And your feelings will be trained based on your action. Amen, amen, amen. So I chose to believe the word of God enough, so you got to decide you're going to live either by revelation or by sensation. If I live by sensation, what I'm living by then is how I feel.
Yes.
I don't live by how I feel. I live by how I believe.
Yes.
Amen, amen. And when I choose to live this way, now I can handle, number one, the prosperity.
Yes.
Let me put it this way. I can handle the persecution of my prosperity.
Yes.
When I talk prosperity, it ain't just money now. It's just money. It's just money. It's money. We're talking about when I succeed, there are haters that's going to come up.
That's right.
There are folk who don't like it. When I get promoted, what I do, there are haters going to come up. But because the way I live is not by how I feel, but the way I live is by how I believe, and my value is not placed on your liking me. So whether you like me or accept me or not, it don't really matter. Ah, amen, amen, amen. So I'm able now to handle the pressure from my peers. What do you mean the pressure from my peers? I mean those folk who will see me excelling and will want me to compromise to stay back with them. See, I can handle pressure from my peers when I understand I'm living out my purpose. Oh, God. God help me on this today. I'm living out my purpose is more important to me than my peer relationship. And I found out I got real purpose. I found I was born at the right time, born in the right place, and that God had purpose for my life. And me living out my purpose to please God is more important than pleasing any of my peers. Now I'm also able to handle the perversions from my past. Oh, watch this. See, in your flesh still dwelleth. Okay, come on. No good thing. You are still capable of doing whatever you did before you came to Jesus. And see, when I understand how I live, I got my head on straight. You understand? I understand I still have to rely on him day by day. Flesh left unchecked runs right back to what it got delivered out of. It'll run right back to the whorehouse. It'll run right back to the crack house. I got to understand that if I got myself together and my value is in pleasing him and I'm lost in my purpose, I ain't got time to fool around with nothing else. Ooh, glory to God. Amen. I got Jack in the box and I ain't letting him out. Amen, amen. See, haven't you seen people who get successful? And then after they get successful, then you watch them fall because they start doing the stuff they got delivered out of. I've seen preachers, once they get successful, now they go back, start getting girlfriends. What's wrong with you, man? Let me close with how you're going to feel better. That's the thing. When am I going to feel better? When am I going to feel better? You get so locked in to purpose that you lose self-pity. Oh, help me. I said, see, I can't give you. It's going to be 3 days. It's going to be 4 days. Here's God's plan. God's plan is that you get so consumed with his purpose. So consumed in your relationship with him that, number one, you lose the pain. See, you don't stay in pain because you lost the pain. You're so consumed with his purpose that you lose the pain, and then you live to promote others. Wow. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. Now, see, your life is no longer centered around you doing for you. God's plan, see, it's a trap, and I see husbands fall into it. After years of being married, go, I spent all this time with me, and I sacrificed my family, and I sacrificed here. I need to be happy. I need to be happy. I see pastors doing it. I need to be happy. I said, boy, that's a trap. The Lord says his way is different from man's way. Man's way is that you focus on you in order to be happy. God's way is this. He says, whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. So he said, look, I said, the way God's way is, it's a reciprocal. What you make happen for others, come on, God makes happen for you. You get lost in blessing others. You get lost in promoting others. And you watch God raise up somebody to encourage you, raise up somebody to promote you. How long, is it going to take, preacher? How long is it going to take for it to work for my life? I don't know how long. It's like what God told the lepers. He said, you go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, you may not be able to put a definite date and time on it, but as you go, somehow things change. Oh, glory to God. No longer do you hear the condemning voice of the devil, but you hear the voice of the Father saying, you are my beloved son, and I'm well pleased with you. I got to stop them out of time. Woo, glory to God. Nobody's walking. Nobody's moving. God wants you to trust him today. Listen, God brought you here today to give you an opportunity to trust him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying. Praying with the same enthusiasm that you have right now, because God wants to do a work in the hearts of people all over the building. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying. You say, Pastor, I'm not a Christian, but I want to be.